Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Talking with Twirlebrities. Today, we are so excited to have Bauer Sarah on the show today. Bauer grew up in Orbazonia, Pennsylvania, and started twirling at the age of 8. He most recently won USTA's solo, two-baton, three-baton, and collegiate national championship titles, and is a 5-time Team USA member. He graduated summa cum laude from Arizona State University, majoring in mechanical engineering. Bauer currently lives in Findlay, Ohio, and is an intern for One Energy. Bauer, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
We're so excited to have you today and to get to know a little bit more about you and about your twirling career. So to start us off, when did you start twirling? How did you discover twirling? Kind of walk us through your twirling career.
Yeah, so it was kind of by chance. I started twirling when I was 8 years old, and my sister wanted to try out for our high school majorette line. So she met with our neighbor, and they were taking some private lessons, and they had an extra baton laying on the ground. And little Bauer got super bored and decided he was going to try it. And pretty much the rest is history. We started taking local lessons about 15 minutes from my house. And then from there, we attended one of PJ's camps when she was the featured twirler at Penn State. And we found out about her studio, and then we transferred when I was about 9 or 10, I want to say, maybe a little bit earlier. And then I've been with the show Twirlers ever since.
That's awesome. That's so fun to happen upon baton, but also be in such a great area for competitive twirling, having so many coaches and big competitions and things right in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I bet a lot of people don't know that your sister twirled as well. What was that like growing up with a sibling that twirled?
Yeah, so actually I have 3 other siblings and a twin brother. My older sister was the one that started the twirling, and then my younger sister also picked it up a little bit later when she was about, I want to say 4. But my older sister and I did a duet, and it was the most tragic thing ever because we didn't get along very well while we were doing the duet. Outside, everything was fine. But during the duet, I would get rogue batons. We would throw fits all the time. We ended up getting over that as we got older. And then we were actually able to compete at the national level at AYOP. But yeah, so it was super interesting being in a duet with one of your siblings and then having another sibling that twirls. It's kind of separate from you. They just do individuals. It's kind of different in the gym because they push you in different ways. So it's been super interesting having siblings that also twirl. And then Libby went to Penn State, and she was on the line there. And then I also went to Penn State for 2 years and then transferred down to Arizona State to twirl for them.
Oh, that's so fun. I love that. And it's fun. It's funny. If you twirled with siblings, you know that, you know, you might get in a fight at the gym, and then you, like, you go home and it's fine. But then something bugs you at home, and you'll be, like, fighting about that and be like, and you dropped 3 times in the duet today.
I threw my baton good to you.
No, we try to keep gym life and home life separate, right? But no, that's so fun. That's so fun. So throughout your twirling career, I'm sure you've had super high highs and super low lows, as most people do. But at what point in your career did you decide that, like, you really wanted to twirl and, like, Bauer really wanted to do this?
Yeah. So I kind of view my twirling career in, like, sections. Otherwise, you just think of the whole thing and it gets crazy. So the first section of my twirling career was when I first started up to, I want to say high school, before my first world championships. That was kind of just me twirling as my passion and kind of putting all of that into my training. And so I would do, like, what I like to do, which was rolls, contact material, et cetera, et cetera. But maybe not focusing on areas where I was more weak, like aerial tosses or releases and receptions. So that I would say that's, like, my first kind of section in my twirling career. And then when I first started at Penn State, I really put an emphasis on my training. And that kind of pushed me to the next level for the 2018 World Championships when I won the solo, because that was kind of my main focus. And I put all my eggs into that basket. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of like the next stage of Bauer. And then the final stage, well, arguably the final stage, is what I'm currently in, which started at Arizona State. And I think that kind of changed me as a person, kind of just living far away, finding myself, and also finding myself in baton. I was able to really find the performance factor in my twirling because of the football field experience. but also applying that to competition.
I love that. I love how you've sectioned it off like that. You can really focus on it. And those that followed your twirling career over the years, you can kind of, you know, see those milestones from afar of what that looks like. I remember watching that solo at the 2018 World Championships, and there was just like no doubt in the room that you had won after you'd finished that routine, because it was so well practiced and everything hit, and it was just like preparation meets opportunity. Like, it was a fulfillment of that, absolutely. So it's really cool to hear the backstory of what that was like in your life.
Yeah, for sure. And so coming back to your question, when did I like kind of choose baton? Because there is definitely defining moments when you're like, I'm doing this for me, not either it's my parent, my coach, whatever that person is. In the beginning, I was twirling for me, for sure. I was just, that was my passion. I loved what baton twirling. I loved competing. I loved practicing. Then that next stage, I kind of let that shift away, and I kind of was twirling for my coaches and for my mom, because I really wanted to show them, like, this is why I've spent so much time. So I was twirling for other people. And then in this final stage I'm currently in, I kind of like reevaluated. I was confronted with life things. I was graduating college. All these things were being thrown in, and I was like, okay, I need to like actively prioritize baton. If I want to do this, do I want to keep doing this? And so that middle section into the final one is kind of when I was like, okay, Bauer's going to twirl again, and I'm going to twirl for me, and that's how it's going to be. So it's interesting to hear, because I was listening to some of the other podcasts, and it kind of shows up. There's a point where you ask yourself, do I want to continue putting so much time and energy into baton? Because all my friends are doing this, that, and the other. So it's always interesting to hear where everybody like made that decision. And so for me, it was during that final stage in Arizona State, I was like, okay, I'm going to be twirling again for me.
I love that. And yeah, it's so true that everyone has that journey of that decision at different points in their career. Absolutely. So you talked a little bit about twirling at different world championships. What is it like to take the Florida World Championship? And maybe for those who don't know, tell us what world championships you competed in and what organizations.
Yeah, for sure. So I competed in both MBTA and USTA world level championships. That's WFMBTA and WVTF, as well as the International Cup. That is a lie. Grand Prix. As well as the Grand Prix contest, which was in France in 2019. In 2012, I was with MBTA, and that's why I competed just freestyle. And then I did World's Years. I did all three event, men's events. And then for WBTF, I did the freestyle event. So taking the floor is probably one of the most terrifying things at the world level, because you have all of those hours in the gym that have led up to that moment, and you don't know if that's going to be the only time you get to compete. So all of that energy and all of those emotions tend to come out while you're warming up or while you're competing. For NBTA, it was kind of more unique for me because I had prepared so much for that one. I want to say I was less nervous, but there's still a bunch of nerves. I was mildly less nervous for that solo event because that was my favorite event. I had, like I said, put all those eggs into that basket, so I was really prepared. So going onto the floor, John and I were kind of joking around, and I was like, Jonathan, if I have a no drop, I'm going to throw a spin triple at the end of my solo. Meanwhile, I've ever caught one on the floor? Absolutely not. He was like, yeah, whatever. Like, sure you will. So then I get on the floor and I'm having a no drop, and I'm like, I'm going to throw a spin triple. So I ended up doing it, and I ended up catching it in both the prelim and the final. But he yelled at me after. He was like, why would you even think about throwing that extra illusion in there? And I was like, I was feeling it. I knew I was going to catch it, so I threw it. I'm going to say the most nervous I've ever been for a Worlds event was in WBTF's 2018 Worlds before short program, because that one stays with you throughout the whole contest. I knew that there was a lot riding on that one. And I had a drop in the first 2 seconds of the routine. So in my head, I had to do that mental reset. I was like, this is the accessory material. Get it back together for your elements. You've been doing this over and over and over. Get it together. You got this. After that drop, I was able to kind of reset in my mind and kind of let my body do what it was trained to do.
that's such a hard thing to do when things don't go right at the beginning of your routine and to recover like that. So I think a lot of twirlers can relate to that experience for sure.
Oh, yeah. Lots of emotions going on in your head, but you have to kind of flush them out and let your body do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Trust your training.
Yeah.
Bauer, who would you say are some of your closest twirling friends?
Oh, my gosh. I think the unique thing about Bhutan is that because we have our bubble, you make so many connections, so many close friendships, whether it be twirlers that you compete against or twirlers that you train with or just people you see at competitions. Recently, when I went to ASU, I got really, really close with Kylie Cates and Emma Carr. We kind of made like the trio bestie circle. And I'm so grateful for them. They have gotten me through a lot of situations and kind of pushed my training. I attribute all of my aerial tricks to Kylie Cates. Thank you for me. But aside from that, I've also had the opportunity to train with Savannah Miller, who you've also had on the podcast. She's an incredible person to train with. So motivated, so grounded, has everything kind of figured out, and it's like breath of fresh air. But aside from that, I mean, there's so many people, and with Team Lux, it's kind of like a built-in family friendship. So all of my fellow trainees on Team Lux are some of my close friends as well. Sabrina Smith, Amanda Trujillo, Kylie, of course, Savannah, Natalie Weber, Sydney Spencer, Courtney Detweiler, I feel like Alexa Tamberlin. I know I miss Emily. Oh my gosh, I'm blanking.
Perkins.
Emily Perkins. I feel like I'm missing somebody. Is that 10?
I'm trying to think through all the Meet the Team posts that I've seen. Yeah. I feel like that's everyone, but Team Lux, we'll go with that.
Team Lux. We love Team Lux. No, they push me kind of in a different way, which I'm so grateful for, as well as some of my fellow male competitors. I've recently taught a camp with Joel Claudio. He's super fun, awesome person to get to know. And yeah, I mean, there's so many people that kind of like touch you in different ways throughout your life. And I mean, it's so incredible because you have so many connections.
I love that. It's truly something special about the twirling world where someone can be like, oh, I know a friend that does baton stuff at Florida State. And you're like, oh yeah, it's so and so, and you're like,
wait, I probably know them.
Yeah, like I probably know them better than you do, right?
But yeah,
I love it. So, Bauer, I would say that a lot of people would say you're their twirling inspiration, and they look up to you, and you draw quite a crowd when you compete on the floor. But we'd love to know who are some of your twirling inspirations.
Oh, geez. So I was one of those kids that grew up on YouTube watching all of the greatest. I could probably name way too many years and names if you just play the first few seconds of music, which is, we'll get into that later. But some of my greatest inspirations that kind of pushed me in the gym were Keske Kamada. I have never met him, but just watching all of his routines on YouTube, they're so incredible, and it brings such an elegance to baton, even in the male space. And that's someone I always strive to be like, because he's so incredible. I also watched Savannah Miller religiously, so I've always looked up to her. But aside from that, my coaches, John Birkin, TJ Birkin, and Pam Meyerhofer, are some of my biggest inspirations because they've shaped me into the person I am. And they're kind of role models to me, especially PJ. She is one of the greatest people I know. And she is a workaholic, and she is kind to everybody. And it's just nobody else matches PJ. So. And Jonathan has also shaped me into the twirler I am, and he's one of my best friends. So,
I love
lots of people to look up to in the sport.
Lots of good people, for sure. Not a shortage of inspiration in the twirling world on and off the floor, absolutely. So, Bauer, what's something you wish maybe people understood a little bit more about being a male twirler in a female-dominated sport?
Yeah, so because I'm a male twirler, I would say there's significantly less of us compared to women in the sport, especially in the U.S. I know for other countries that's maybe not the case, but in the U.S. there's so few male twirlers that we're kind of faced with unique issues. For example, for a long time, we weren't even competing in the big show for the top six with the women until some people fought for that, and then it was kind of all congregated together. And then also for competitions, I've noticed that the girls are accommodated outside of the competition, but still for the event. Oftentimes you'll see that the dressing rooms are set up for the women. All the bathrooms are open for the women, but then the guys are kind of disregarded and we have to change in the bath. We have to change behind a curtain somewhere. So that has always kind of like struck me as maybe we could do a little bit better in that sense. But I was lucky and I came from a town that was super supportive. On the football field, when I performed after the football games, the crowd would stay after and they would cheer me on. And I kind of had that whole camaraderie coming from where I was born, which that was super grateful for me because I know other male twirlers can't relate to that. I guess I would just ask for a little bit more consideration for the male athletes in the sport, just so that we aren't kind of pushed by the wayside, because we recognize that and it's kind of just like, oh, I wish that was a little bit better, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's great to hear that your hometown was so supportive of you and continue to foster your love of twirling instead of, you know, the opposite, which is the case for some people. So it's great to hear that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm super grateful. And even after my first world championships, when I brought home, I believe it was bronze in the men's solo, they had all the fire trucks and I got on the fire truck. Nobody told me about it. So I wake up from this long car ride and I'm greeted with fire trucks and they're like, get on the fire truck. We're going to parade you down the street. So it was super cool. I was like, oh my gosh.
That is so fun. I love that so much. That's awesome. So we've talked a little bit about your twirling experience at ASU, but we'd love to dive into that a little bit more. So Pennsylvania to Arizona, you pretty much can't go any further across the country. Why did you choose to come to ASU?
Yeah, so I was super content with living my life at Penn State and creative mechanical engineering. I tried out at Penn State my second year after Rachel Reese retired and graduated. But I unfortunately didn't get the spot. So I was just going to continue my training. They have a wonderful gym, which I miss truly. So I was just going to continue my career. And then Lori Cobb actually reached out and she was like, hey, we have a spot open at ASU. You should definitely come try out, or they're holding open auditions. You should definitely come try out. And I had never heard of ASU before. So I instantly go to Google and I'm like, what is Arizona State? I've heard before. Let's look her up and look at the images. And through online, I was like, I am in love with this campus, but I need in person. So I went a little bit early for the auditions and kind of toured the campus. Rebecca Lance and Cassidy C kind of showed me around a little bit, and I fell in love with the campus even more than I did at Penn State, which was super gratifying for me. And I considered moving there even if I didn't get the spot. That's how much I love the campus. But thank goodness I got the spot at Arizona State with the Sendable Marching Band, and I made so many great connections there, and there's so many great opportunities with that band. And I think it's super cool because all of our sections are kind of more of a family compared to what I've heard at other places. So like our spirit squad, all of our instrumental sections, our color guard really got along well together. So I made lots of friends in all different departments of the Sendable Marching Band. And I think that's super cool because, yeah, I mean, friends that play clarinet, but also friends that are cheerleaders. It's like, what is going on here?
That was so fun. It's great to hear that the whole band is close and that camaraderie is there, because it makes the whole experience so much better, especially when you're spending that much time together.
Yeah, for sure.
So what is it like twirling with different twirlers from all over the country? You all came from very different backgrounds of twirling. What is that like?
Yeah, so I really only knew, I didn't really know any of them, just that I was competing like with them and they were at the same contest, but I had never really talked to any of the other ASU features until I got there. And then we instantly clicked and we all became really close friends. And even coming from across the country, I say we all really mingled together well. And one of the interesting things with ASU is that we're all four features. Well, we're all four features. So because of that, we had our opportunities to do whatever we wanted, really go into our own style and perform for the crowd. But then for pregame, it was set in stone and we all did the same thing. And then we branched off a little bit, but for the most part, we were doing the same routine. But it was kind of not really challenging to merge all our styles because we were all pretty much elite athletes. So merging those styles wasn't really difficult for us. It was just finding those certain things that made us all kind of excel at the same time. So once we found that, we really honed it in and developed our pregame. And I think, of course, I'm biased. Our pregame is probably one of the hardest. We have a lot going on with the band, and one of our famous drills is called Explosion Block. And it literally just looks like the whole band is running at you. So scary. And then you're trying to do two baton at the same time. It's a mess. But in the best way possible.
I love that. I have no doubt your pregame is up there with some of the hardest in the country. There's no way it couldn't be with the caliber of athletes that are at ASU right now.
Yeah. But yeah, Arizona State offered me so many great opportunities to perform, whether it be basketball games, football games. I'm so grateful for all those opportunities. And it really, like I said earlier, it helped me find my performance value in twirling. Because the crowd doesn't really know which difficult flip you're doing underneath, like in contact sense. It's kind of more like whatever the crowd likes, you really feed off of that and you keep doing that over and over again ways to really get the crowd going in front of you.
I love it. It's so true. There's a learning curve to performance twirling versus competition twirling. And once you can kind of hone in on that, it makes the whole performance aspect of twirling so much more fun.
Yes. Rebecca has definitely said multiple times, stop twirling.
Stop twirling. Just perform.
Yeah. You're doing too much.
That's quite an odd thing for your twirling coordinator to tell you, but, you know, we get the sentiment for sure. So, Bauer, now that you've graduated from ASU Mechanical Engineering, which is amazing, especially everyone listening out there, to be able to twirl at that high of a level, twirl at a university that expects a lot from you on the field, and to do such a difficult major, that is just super inspiring to lots of twirlers out there listening, I'm sure. But what does this summer look like for you? Are you still competing this year? What is life looking like these days?
Yeah, so I'm still competing. I was actually just going through my calendar and I was trying to find a free weekend between now and Worlds, which was non-existent. We love that. But on top of that, I also have a full-time internship with One Energy. So I'll be working with them throughout the summer and competing on top of that, which has been kind of an interesting challenge because you're always dealt with the scheduling aspect. And through school, it was always like, when am I going to practice in between my classes? So I'm going to schedule my classes on this group up here. So I have this block of section so I can train. And then I have this block of sections that I can study. So pushing that into now my adult life, now I can be like, okay, after work, I'm going to set aside this many hours to work, this many hours to train. And it's kind of like, because you go through that throughout all of high school and your college career, you're already set up with those skills to like block out when you need to train. So it's been sort of smooth, but moving across the country to go to school and then back across the country to Ohio has definitely been quite the journey.
I bet. Lots of things up in the air there. Lots of moving, lots of, you know, transitional periods of your life. Like, that is a lot to deal with. And I know I've talked about this with some other like judges and coaches and things, but it's funny when you switch that part of life where you're now using your PTO from work to go work more, right, at competitions or things like that. And that is a non-fun part of the adult transition and being involved in the twirling world, as I'm sure you've learned recently.
Absolutely. I've been super lucky that my internship doesn't have a vacation policy, so I'm super grateful in that aspect. So I just have to, they make sure that all your work is done. And then aside from that, you can take off whenever you like. So that has aligned with baton so perfectly.
Oh, love that. Love that for you. That's awesome. So, Bauer, looking forward to this summer, the upcoming World Championships, lots of things going on. What goals do you still have in twirling? I'm sure a lot of people look at your career and be like, he could put the baton back in the case and feel pretty good about everything that has happened so far. So what goals do you still have?
Yeah. So, as far as MBTA, I feel like I've kind of checked all the boxes in that aspect. So I'm going back to AYOP this year, but I'm going to mainly be doing team events. And then for USTA, I still want to push myself in the WBTF aspect because I feel like I can do more in that sense. So I'm really honing in my skills for that competition, which is going to be in August. And then after that, I haven't really decided if I'm going to be done after this year, which probably means that I'm not done after this year.
I feel like you usually kind of know, right, when it's the end. So that's fun. Keep that door open. You know, lots of exciting things to come. So when that day does come for you to retire from your twirling career, do you picture yourself still being involved in the twirling world? What do you kind of want that to look like?
Absolutely. So as of right now, I'm still kind of coaching for the show Twirlers, and I plan on continuing that and taking more of a heftier aspect in coaching for my aside from that, I don't know if I'm going to get into judging. That's a whole nother that's a big piece to chew off. So we're going to leave that for the future. But yeah, I definitely plan on coaching a little bit more and kind of maybe taking on some students of my own.
Well, it would be awesome to have you continue to contribute to the twirling world. And we have no doubt that you'll be a great coach. I know from clinics that my sister and other of our students have attended, they've loved having you and have learned so much from you teaching wise. So in that full-time capacity, I'm sure you'd be excellent.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, Bauer, so one question we ask everyone who comes on the podcast, since it kind of is the origin of Only Twirlers, we have to know what your favorite Only Twirlers shirt is.
I've been waiting for this question. My favorite is Boom No Drop.
I love it. I love it.
I feel like it's one of the OG ones too, which makes it even that much better.
Yes, that was one of the, we had three shirts in our original collection and that was one of them. So
yes, I remember when they came out. I was like, I need one.
Well, we wish you many Boom No Drops this summer, heading into the World Championships and Nationals, all the exciting things. And thank you so much for being on the show today. Is there anything else you would like to tell the twirling world before we wrap up for the day?
Definitely push for all of your dreams and batons. There's so many things and opportunities that it can offer you. So really take advantage of those and put those hours in the gyms and do your roll section. Again.
You heard it here, people. On behalf of your coaches and Bauer, do your roll sections. I love it. Thank you so much, Bauer, for being on the show today. And thank you all for listening to another episode of Talking with Twirlebrities. We will see you next week.
Thank you for having me.